Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure to continue to be with you. Doug Barry is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Doug's an old buddy of ours and an old friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. Not the least bit old. He's actually a very young guy, but you know how we say things around here. Anyway, we like Doug a lot because he brings us lots of good information about how you and I can expand our horizons, how you and I can get our heads out of our four walls. And even out of the four walls of our country, not just out of the four walls of our building or our neighborhood or our region, but out of our country. He helps us think about the fact that 95% of all the customers on planet Earth live outside of the United States. And so we have to think about these things, and he's got some ideas for us. Doug Barry is the Director of Marketing Communication for the U.S. Commercial Service, which is a division, an outstanding division of the Department of Commerce. Doug Barry, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim, and hello, everybody.
It's good to have you back, as always.
Well, it's good to be here, and I caught a little bit of the previous interview that you had, deep diving, and the need to adapt to change and have a plan 2 years out. And what better plan is to go global over the next 12 months?
Ladies and gentlemen, Doug Barry, the king of Segway. And it's perfect. No, that's a perfect example. I mean, because, you don't wake up one morning and say, I think I'm going to export, and push a button at the end of the day and do it. I mean, it's okay. You can sell something on eBay that way. But basically, the kind of exporting we're talking about, that Doug talks to us about, it takes a little planning. It takes a little. You need to find people in other parts of the world who want what you have. You got to find a way to get it in front of them. You got to build a little bit of a relationship at least with these people. Maybe a lot of a relationship, and then you got to figure out how you're going to get paid.
Well, that's right, Jim. And I must admit that although I have caught your show now and again since the last time I was on, I've been pretty busy here helping U.S. companies go global. But one of the things that I've been reading in the paper, and maybe you have seen this as well with your guests, is the economy really appears to be at a turning point right now. And a lot of economists are talking about the need for the United States to sell more in order to balance what it's buying.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, over the next some years, we may be buying less, but the need is to sell more to the rest of the world. Do you find that a theme in some of your guests?
Yes, clearly the economists on our show talk about this quite a bit, and in the United States, we've got to. We're making more services and less tangible goods. But I think in the future, that's going to turn around a little bit. I think we're going to be doing more tangible things.
Well, I think so. And, I think that we do have a lot of stuff now. We make a lot of stuff, and we don't make some of the same things that we've made in the past, and some has been outsourced elsewhere. But, Jim, just in the last week or so, I've talked to a number of small businesses who are actively selling internationally, and one of them the other day makes those kind of human kites that you literally fly in.
What?
And they're doing very well around the world.
Does it
have
now. A parachute?
I think it's just the wings. A lot of flapping, some prayers, and a favorable wind.
What was that guy's name who did that and got too close to the sun? Didn't that happen already?
Oh, that was Icarus. Yeah,
that guy.
I hope that's not the name of the company. And then there was another guy. He's retired now, former military. He is selling vintage Mustang parts. There's a lot of people around the world who own vintage Mustang, and he provides the parts. And then there's another guy I spoke to the other day in Michigan, which is sort of hard hit now with high unemployment, but he and a couple of his buddies got together, and they've created a machine that oxygenates water So he called me the other day and had a deal going in the Middle East. I think it was in the United Arab Emirates, where they're building a golf course in the middle of the desert, and they needed one of his machines for one of the ponds that they had.
Hmm.
Who knew?
Yeah. Well, you know, and I used to work years ago when I had my consulting company. I worked with a guy who developed a system for separating oily sludge. And you know, taking the water and the dirt and the bad oil out and keeping the good stuff. I mean, and this was a small company, and he was working with people in the Middle East to make that happen. And I'll tell you something else, folks. Small business manufacturing is on the increase in the United States. So we'll come back. We're going to talk a little bit more about some of the things that are going on in exporting, including social media opportunities with other countries. 20 till, Doug Barry and I will be right back. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you very much for using it. We built it for you. Lots of stuff there. You can listen to archives. You can read articles. You can ask questions at askjim.biz, which is right off the homepage. You can look at my blog, which is right on the homepage. Click right there on the left and get to my blog. You can subscribe to my free newsletter. You got 5 seconds or 15 minutes or anywhere in between on any topic under the small business sun. We've got something that you can use and benefit from. I hope you'll use it to your advantage. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Doug Barry is our guest. Doug is with the U.S. Commercial Services. He's the Director of Marketing and Communication there, part of the Department of Commerce. We're talking about exporting. Now, Doug, you've traveled all over the world for the Commercial Services Department, and we've interviewed you in other parts of the world. There's so much opportunity out there. There's so many people in other parts of the world who want what Americans sell. But there is a courtship situation, isn't there? I mean, there's a period that you got to go through to where you find out so that you can find the people who want what you sell. I mean, some people may want to buy from the United States, but they may not want what you have. They may want what somebody else has.
Well, that's right, Jim.
And that's what you guys help them with.
It is, and before the courtship begins, you have to decide whether to date or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reason that a lot of people don't even get to that question is because they think that exporting is too risky or it's too complicated and
just
they don't
the
know how to
guys.
Do it. Exactly. So
yeah.
I think first, before the dating and the courtship begins, we have to dispel those myths about it being too risky. Hardly it's risky to do business in Canada, for example, where many U.S. and small U.S. small and medium-sized enterprises get their start. Mexico, too, maybe a little more risk, but still not much comparatively. United mm-hmm. Kingdom, most places in Europe, no risk. So I think we have to say to right at the outset that it's a myth to believe that there's too much risk involved. And then the second thing is it's too difficult and I don't know how to do it. It's not that difficult. Sure, there are some complex aspects when you have certain kinds of products trying to sell certain kinds of places, but for the most part, it's pretty straightforward.
But my friend I was telling you about, he did a couple of different things with them overseas, with these countries overseas, and it was a project to get it started, but once he got it established, I won't say it went on automatic, but it was not much trouble. After you got started. And I'm telling you, and I've said this before when you've been here, Doug, there were years, I remember back in the 90s, there were years when the local business would have, if he had only had the local business, he would have gone out of business. The international sales held him up some years.
That's right.
Had he not done this, had he not established this. Now let's talk about, Doug, talk to us about how, some of your thoughts on how social media, what we currently call social media, I prefer to call it online customer communities, but the vernacular is social media. How does that play into finding prospects and online for in other countries?
Well, it's just another way to find buyers, Jim. And buyers of a certain demographic, the people who are using this media now, are probably by and large under 40. But even that's changing, and the social media companies are realizing that more and more people over 40 are getting involved in this.
Like you and me, right?
Like you and me, exactly. So I was reading the other day about this one guy. I think it was this story in the New York Times. He has a creme brulee cart, only in San Francisco.
I heard about that. Right? I heard about that.
He pushes the cart around, and he flames the stuff right from a little cart, which looked from the picture like, you know, Mr. Ice Cream,
right,
pushing the thing around with little bells on it, but it's a creme brulee. And he has 5,000 followers on Twitter,
yeah,
who basically wait to hear where his cart is going to be in the city of San Francisco every day. 5,000.
Yeah.
So you can imagine if you multiply that by all of the people in the countries who now have access to the social media, you're not talking about people just in one neighborhood. You're talking about the entire world.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But all you have to do is just and these are tools that are free, aren't they?
They're absolutely free.
And you just think about what you have to establish. Would you need to establish a separate perspective on the social media sites for foreign customers as you do for U.S. customers? Wouldn't you have to have like a two universes almost?
Well, you have to keep in mind that people you are communicating with through these channels may have English as a second language, and you want to be inviting to them. You want to address how your product or your company or how the industry that you're in has an international focus.
Right.
And you want to offer them, when you drive them to your website through the use of the social media, you might find them on Facebook, but then you'll want to tell them to go to the website to look at the products, and on your website you'll want to have a currency converter, for example. These are free. You can download them on your site, and immediately it says to the foreign buyer, I understand you, I respect you, mm-hmm, and I'm not going to make you do these calculations in your head.
So use social media as a way of strengthening the relationship.
Yes,
not just to pass information.
That's right, and also establishing yourself as an authority in whatever field and industry you represent.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to ask Doug if people in other countries are using social media as much as we are. Is that what's that like? And so we'll do that and a few other things that he'll have to tell us right after these messages. No, it's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Here's the Spencer Davis Group. Take us out.
Love, love is strange.
Love. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. We're having a great visit with our good friend Doug Barry. He's with the Department of Commerce's Division of the U.S. Commercial Service. He's the Director of Marketing there. Doug, give us the website. Tell us how we can contact you and why.
Yes, Jim. The website is export.gov, and there's also a telephone number, a toll-free number for you to call during the week, and it's 1-800-USA-TRADE, T-R-A-D-E, and that will get you in touch with one of our trade specialists who can talk to you about all of the things we've discussed here, about your business needs and plans, and help plug you into our worldwide network so you can start making those sales internationally. And then there's a book.
Yep.
And the book is called A Basic Guide to Exporting, and it is what it says. It's an easy-to-comprehend reference book that talks about how to get your products from one place to another, how to prepare your products to sell in another country, and all of the government assistance, most of it free or low cost, is mm-hmm, available to help you do that.
And right in your neighborhood, folks. You don't have to go to Washington, D.C. to get it. Well, you got like 100 departments across the country?
There are. There are export assistance centers in 108 cities around the country. One of them is near you, and just give them a call, and they'd be happy to talk to you about your plan.
Absolutely. So check it out, folks. Doug, are people in other countries using Twitter and Facebook? Are they have their own kinds of their own local media, social media sites? What's the landscape look like over there?
There's a combination, Jim. There's local homegrown ones, particularly in Russia, and some in China. But all of the ones that we are familiar with, Ning, Facebook, all of them, Twitter, they're all available. And you might have noticed, as maybe your listeners have too, the use of it in Iran.
Twitter has been one of the resources for the folks who've been fighting the status quo over there.
Yes, and also YouTube, the ability to instantaneously upload video that can immediately be seen around the world. It makes repressive governments cringe because it's so hard for them to control information. And just as they're using it now for those kinds of purposes, they'll also be using it for all kinds of other communication and interaction, and one of them, of course, will be business, a way to find people around the world who they can trust and do business with.
I heard a story this last week about a guy who was doing some work in a foreign country where things weren't so friendly, and he was arrested. And just as he was about to be arrested, he typed "arrested" into Twitter, and hit send on his iPhone or something, and that went out to all of his people. They got it. They contacted the consulate, and somebody met him at. By the time they brought him back to the police station, somebody from the consulate was there to take him away.
My goodness.
That's how Twitter. So that's just an example of how fast things are. But one of the concerns I think I would have, Doug. As you know, all of us have gotten these emails from Nigeria or wherever, the princely sum email where somebody had all this money for us. I think without some kind of validation from an organization like yours, I would be concerned about doing business based on a Facebook relationship or a Twitter relationship. What do you think?
Yes, you still have to be careful, but you also have the ability to read about these folks, find out things about them, see if they're rated at all by other people who've had business dealings with them.
Right.
Of course, it's the rating service, which is really changing business across the board, the ability to read what other people have said about their dealings with that company. So it's just another level.
Right.
Of information.
It's just another tool, isn't it? It's not the tool. It's just another tool that adds to your due diligence process.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And I guess the issue is, how do you manage all of these things? How much time in a busy business owner's life is there to do all of this? And, you might want to engage one of your teenage children, if you have one. they're certainly very facile with this technology. And there are ways to make sure, because you can't just sort of write something one day and then let it go for another several months. You really have to manage it and keep up with it.
You have to stay. That's one thing about social media. You have to serve. You have to stay current with your communities, don't you?
But as the creme brulee guy will tell you, it's definitely worth it.
What a great story. What a great Twitter success story that one is. I saw that the other day. Hey, Doug, give us that website one more time.
Sure. Export.gov, and call us at 1-800-USA-TRADE. And don't forget the book, A Basic Guide to Exporting.
And it's available on that site, also on Amazon, too, right?
Yes, it is.
Hey, Doug, thanks for being here. Good job today. Good work.
Thank you, Jim.
Doug
Goodbye,
Barry,
everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. I will be, too. After these messages, after the news, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.